Jeremiah 25. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. From the 13th year of Josiah, even to this day, these 23 years, the word of Yahweh has come to me. And I have spoken to you, rising up early and speaking, but you have not listened. Wow, what a ministry of Jeremiah, that he was preaching like that for 23 years and nobody really responded. It's really discouraging to preach and not have any response. It's very discouraging. And I get disappointed if I'd been out for a day giving out tracts or New Testaments on the street and I can't seem to get anybody really to have a conversation with me or show any interest. But he did it 23 years and didn't get response. And this shows the patient love of God, that God keeps on witnessing to people. He really, really wants his people. So it's not that God is far away and not interested. Yahweh has sent you all his servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return now each one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings and dwell in the land that Yahweh has given to you forevermore. Don't go after other gods to serve them or worship them. Don't provoke me to anger with the work of your hands, and I will do you no harm. Yet you have not listened to me, says Yahweh, so that you provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own hurt. So all idolatry, like all sin, is to our own hurt. It's not just that God's saying, hey, look, I want you to be obedient to what I'm telling you just for the sake of it. There is a personal benefit to us. And likewise, if we do refuse to go in his way, we worship idols in our own hearts, etc., this is to our own hurt. Thus says the Lord, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, this is Babylon, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land. So God would send to these people and call them, and Nebuchadnezzar was his servant. Well, that's not, of course, what Nebuchadnezzar thought. And yet you see how God works, that he manipulates people who are unbelievers in order to fulfill his purpose in relation to those who are believers. He's moving the pieces around the board, as it were, as if it's in a board game. And don't think, therefore, that these mighty powers and mighty politicians and leaders of men, that they're just doing their own thing. God is behind these people, and he is working everything for our sakes. So he says that he will bring Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, against this land. And I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and perpetual desolation. I will take from them the voice of mirth and gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. It shall happen that when 70 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, says Yahweh, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it desolate for ever. I will bring on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it. Well, when the 70 years were apparently up, there was Daniel in what was then Persia. Babylon had changed into Persia. And he sort of says to God, come on, like 70 years are up. What's happening? And then he's given this prophecy of the 77s, or the 70 times 7, the weeks. And I think the idea of that prophecy is to say, yeah, Daniel, there's been a delay. No, it's not going to work as initially planned, but it will come true in a different way at a later time. This was because the return from exile was to be connected with a return to God. And the Jews had not repented, and therefore they did not return to their land in the way that God had intended. So you see that God's purpose is sort of open and flexible, because he so respects our free will decisions, our repentance, and the way that we want to go. He will not force and manipulate his people at all. In that sense, he encourages, yes. Thus says Yahweh, take this cup of the wine of wrath at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. So the cup of wine here represents God's wrath, God's judgment. And yet it also represents God's blessing. When we talk about the breaking of bread, Paul talks about the cup of blessing which we bless. So to get a cup of wine from God can mean two things. To drink God's wrath, God's judgment to yourself, or to drink his blessing to yourself. And that's why Paul says, examine yourself when you take the cup, because is this to your blessing or to your condemnation? So, as often in the Bible, we are shown that there are only two real options, to the right or to the left. Choose life rather than death. That's what God says to his people. I set before you life and death. You either love God or you hate God. You either love God or you serve the idols. Of course, Israel, many people think, oh, no, I can do a bit of both. But in the end, it is one of those two options. And because that's how it is at the Day of Judgment, there will only be two exits, one to everlasting life and one to everlasting death, and there will be no third road. And if that is so, which it is, then we must serve God absolutely with our whole heart, without reserve, without holding anything back. So I took the cup at Yahweh's hand and made all the nations to drink, to whom Yahweh sent me, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and its kings, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all the kings of the land of Uz, the kings of the Philistines, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the children of Ammon, the kings of Tyre and Sidon, Dedan, Tema, and Buz, the kings of Arabia, the kings of Zimri, Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, all the kings of the north, all the kingdoms of the world on the surface of the land, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. I think that probably is a kind of a code word for Babylon. You shall tell them, thus says Yahweh, drink and be drunk, fall and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. If they refuse to take the cup at your hand to drink, then you shall tell them, thus says Yahweh, you will surely drink. For behold, I begin to work evil at the city which is called by my name, and should you be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the land. So I was saying that there's only two options. There is to choose life or to choose death. And when we take the cup of wine, this is either a symbol of our eternal life, eternal blessing, or of our eternal death, our condemnation. And we may say, okay, I pass. I won't take it then. Well, here, God says, all right, if you will not drink of it, if you don't want to drink of it, okay, well, then you will be condemned. You will, all the same, have the wrath and condemnation of God upon you. So actually, there's no get out. You have to drink it, one way or the other. Therefore, you must prophesy against them all these words and tell them, Yahweh will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will give a shout as those who tread grapes against all the inhabitants of the land. A noise shall come even to the end of the land. For Yahweh has a controversy with the nations. He will enter into judgment with all flesh. As for the wicked, he will give them to the sword. Evil shall go forth from nation to nation. A great storm shall be raised up from the uttermost ends of the land. The slain of Yahweh shall be at that day from one end of the land even to the other. Wail, you shepherds, and cry, and wallow in dust, you principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are fully come, and you shall fall like a goodly vessel. The shepherds shall have no way to flee. So in those days, people are going to want to flee, to just get away from all this, but they can't. And it is really the same with us now. We have, as I said, this choice to the right or to the left. life or death. God's wrath, God's condemnation, or God's blessing and life eternal. And there is no way to flee from that. So we take this absolutely with both hands and run with it, with all our hearts and souls.